Well, it is good to be back with all of you. I appreciate being here. I appreciate not being on the highway. I set my trip odometer to zero when I backed out of the driveway 2 weeks ago when we pulled back in about 11:15 Friday night. It said 4,069 miles. So you see why I'm glad not to be on the highway. It is good to be back with you. I appreciate you all making it nice and cool for us when we came back in Wisconsin. And so yesterday when I was picking the cherries in my trees that were ripe, it was nice that it was nice and cool. I didn't even break a sweat doing that. So that was very polite of you to welcome us back that way and remember why we love living here. 4th of July week, Independence Day holiday. We celebrate our freedom and our love for our country. So as we celebrate freedom, I want to preach about slavery. You go, wait a minute now, before you get so many worry lines on your face, it looked like you slept on a corduroy pillow last night or something. Understand what I'm talking about. I'm talking about slavery that sets you free. Slavery that sets you free. The text for the message today comes from Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, verses 16 through 18. The Apostle Paul is writing and he says to us, "Do you not know that when you present yourselves to someone as slaves for obedience, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin resulting in death, or of obedience resulting in righteousness? But thanks be to God that though you were slaves of sin, you became obedient from the heart to that teaching, to that form of teaching to which you were committed. And having been freed from sin, you became slaves of righteousness." When you look up the word slave in the Webster New Collegiate Dictionary, you'll find that it is defined in two ways. There's one definition that we hate. We don't like that. And it is a person held in servitude as chattel to another. That is the idea that most of us have when we think of slave. Someone owned as a servant to do whatever the owner wishes that person to do. But I want us to focus on the second definition, which is the one that Paul is referring to here today. And that is a person who has lost control of himself and is dominated by something or someone. Let me say that again. A person who has lost control of himself and is dominated by something or someone. The Apostle Paul is telling us here in the book of Romans that all of us are slaves. We are all dominated and controlled by one of two things. Either we are dominated, controlled, slaves to our sinful nature and our sin, or we are obedient to the teachings of Christ and become slaves, become controlled, dominated by the righteousness of Jesus. One type of slavery leads to bondage, and the other type of slavery leads to freedom. I have a couple of quick points I want to make with you this morning. And first is, let's examine the slavery that enslaves. The slavery where we are dominated by sin. This is what the Apostle Paul spoke about in our text when he said, of sin resulting in death. How are we enslaved to our sin? There are a number of ways. We are enslaved to our, let's just use an old-fashioned word, carnal pleasures. We're enslaved to our carnal, our fleshly pleasure. We think there's freedom in the attitude, if it feels good, do it. But Paul warns us that when we pursue those type of pleasures, that instead of finding freedom, the consequences of our actions begin to rain down upon us. We're also enslaved to the desire for worldly recognition, popularity, fame, power. The slavery of sin calls us to do whatever it takes, compromise your principles, do whatever is necessary to gain the favor of the world. When we are a slave to sin, our honor and our integrity is for sale at any price. The slavery that leads to being dominated by sin also enslaves us to greed, to materialism. There's nothing wrong with having things. There's nothing wrong with having money. But the Bible warns us in 1 Timothy 6:10, that verse that always gets misquoted, for the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. It's not money, it's the love of it. But you see, that's what sin causes us to do. It causes us to become greedy, to become possessive of our possessions. But what happens with that sin? Remember, we're talking about slavery. When we fall into the trap of greed, instead of us possessing our possessions possess us. Instead of us possessing our possessions possess us. That verse in 1 Timothy 6:10 goes on to say, for the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. The world's highway is filled with the wrecks of lives that have been lost in greed. You become enslaved in sin to habits that you can't break, insatiable desires that can never, ever be fulfilled. I'm talking about addictions. Addictions that you can never seem to kick. When I say addiction, many people think of drugs, but I'm talking about more than just drugs. I'm talking about those things that you know that you ought not to be doing. And you try and you try, but you cannot seem to stop doing those things. Those things that hold power over you and you are powerless against them. Do you recognize where that slavery, that mastery over you comes from? It comes from sin. That's the type that Paul says will ultimately lead us all to death. But I'm so glad that Paul didn't stop at that point in the text. He goes on to tell us, though, the good news. There is a different type of slavery, that instead of this type of slavery making you in bondage or being controlled, by your sin, this type of slavery sets you free. Because you are controlled not by your sin, but by God. And Paul says here, quote, you become slaves of righteousness. Hallelujah. Paul said this in Romans chapter 8, just two chapters over in the first two verses. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. What happens is that when we come to Christ, and as we follow Christ, we receive a new master. Our master is no longer our sin. Our master is Christ Jesus. And we are set free from sin and death. Oh, the freedom that I enjoy in Christ. You know, when you're in Christ, you're free from the eternal damnation of sin. You are. I talk to people a lot as a pastor, of course, and I talk to them about spiritual things. And one of the questions I often ask people, and I'm talking about people who are members of the Baptist Church, and I'll ask them, so, do you know for sure that you're going to heaven? And even when I ask people who are members of the Baptist Church, half the time they'll give me, well, I like to think I am. I hope I am. And my reaction is always, say, what do you mean you hope you are? I'm asking you, do you know if you are? And you start driving that point home deeper and deeper and peeling the layers off of the onion, and you get down to the kernel of it, and the kernel of it is they're not sure. What do you mean you're not sure? Well, I don't know. What that's revealing is they don't understand what Christ has truly done. They don't understand the freedom, the assurance that you have when you belong to Jesus Christ. That you are free from that worry of eternal damnation. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. They feel the weight of that sin. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That means that when I have Jesus as my Lord, I have received His gift of eternal life. What about you? Do you know if you're going to heaven or not? Do you know if you are free from the worry of damnation because of sin? So to be in Christ, to be a slave to Jesus, means you're free from that worry about eternity. But to be in Christ also means that you are free right now from sin's dominion and control in your life. Oh, Pastor, I'm still in the flesh and I'm battling the flesh. Yeah, that's right, I am too. But Pastor, you know, I can't live above sin. Oh, yes, you can. Oh, yes, I can. Paul says in the chapter that's open before us, in chapter 6 and verse 14, for sin shall not be master over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. Sin has no power over a believer in Jesus Christ. You are free from it. So if you sin because you choose to sin. You sin not because you can't help it. Some of us older folks remember in the early 70s, this was when I was just a wee little kid then. I'm not that old, right? But we remember the comedian Flip Wilson and his variety show. And he had a line all the time in that show that he would use. And what was it? The devil made me do it, right? In other words, it's not my fault that I did this sin. The devil made me do it. That's a lie. That's a lie. When I sin, you know who made me sin? Larry Kent Griffin. That's who made me sin. When you sin, you know who did it? Who's to blame? You. Put your name in the blank. All right? You're not powerless over sin. It does not have dominion. Sin shall not be master over you because you're under the grace of Jesus. You belong to Jesus. You've been set free by being a slave to Jesus. So I want to end this very simple and short message today with this truth. If you want to attain the victorious freedom that can be found through slavery to Jesus, there's only one way to get that, and that's by being born again. Back in John chapter 3, one night, Nicodemus, one of the Pharisees, a member of the Sanhedrin council, the rulers, comes to Jesus in the middle of the night. He starts a conversation. And Jesus says something that just blows old Nick's mind. Jesus says, you know, most assuredly, truly, truly, I say to you, unless you are born again, you cannot receive the kingdom of God. You cannot see it. You can't receive it. You're not getting in the door. And old Nicodemus scratches his head and says, how can a person when he's old be born again? Well, the Bible tells us it's very simple. The first step in being born again, the first step in being free from the worry and dominion and control and slavery of sin and death is to know that you're lost. You got to recognize that you're lost. And until you're lost, you reckon know that you're lost, you're never going to see a need to be found. You're never going to see a need of a Savior. Until each of us comes to that point where we realize what our eternal condition is outside of Jesus Christ, that we are lost and without hope, you can never be saved. You can never be born again. We have to come to grips with this truth. Romans 3:23, that every one of us have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Period. And as that Romans 6:23 verse I quoted a moment ago, for the wages of sin is death. We all have to come to grips with that reality. But then what happens is when we understand that, then we can move ahead then to the truth of Romans 5:8. In Romans 5:8, Paul said, but God demonstrates his love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While I was still separated from God, owned, lock, stock, and barrel by sin, rebelling against God, hating God, fighting against God, God still loved me enough that he sent Christ to die on the cross for me. Yes, Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, but the gift, God's gift on the cross was eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So what do we have to do? We have to repent. That means turn away from our sin. Accept the Lord as our Savior. And follow Christ. Is that simple? Romans 10, 9 and 10. That if you confess with your mouth Jesus Christ is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness. And with the mouth confession is made to salvation. When I came off the end of vacation, and I knew I would have a short week, a short time to prepare a sermon and to think about this today, the message came together when I remembered something that was shared with me a long time ago. A wise old pastor asked me, "So what are you going to preach if you were asked to stand and preach with 5 minutes notice?" And I looked at him as a young man and I said, "Boy, if that happened to me, I don't know what I'd preach." And he said, "It's easy. You never go wrong preaching the gospel." Amen. Right? Some of you are sitting here today going, "Well, this is a sermon I've heard 1,000 times, the gospel." You never go wrong hearing the gospel either, again and again. For you see, we need the freedom that can only come in Jesus. Yes, we celebrate our nation's freedom this week. Thank you, Lord, for those who gave their all, who sacrificed generation after generation after generation so that we could be here today and enjoying our freedoms. And that's something good and proper to celebrate. But celebrate most of all the freedom that we have in Jesus and what He gave for us, so that we can be a slave to righteousness and eternal life. As I come to this invitation, do you know for sure that you're going to heaven? If you don't, then you need to get right with Jesus. You need to accept Him as your Savior, confess your faith in Him, turn from your sin, and call on Him to save you, and He will. Christian, are you struggling with sin? Recognize you don't have to. That you have a new master, and His name is Jesus, and He has set you free from sin. And you can call on Him and lean on Him and His word, and He can deliver you from that which you cannot deliver yourself. Will you do it? Let's pray. Father, as we come to the conclusion of this message, Lord, my heart cries out for those that may not be sure about their eternal destiny. God, that they would come in faith to Christ. And Father, for those of us who are in Christ, but yet, Lord, we still seem to go back into the slavery of sin. Lord, let us remember that You truly have set us free. And Lord, that You would help us to call out upon Christ. And Lord, only in the slavery in Christ can we find freedom. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I invite you to stand. You need to come and pray with me as well.